coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to today's or this week's Behind the News podcast, where we take a look behind the headlines in Clinch County, Axon County, Eccles County, and Lanier County. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm joined by Blake Pittman. Some of the things we're going to be talking about today in Axon County, they had a shooting involving an officer, and we'll talk about that. Elections went on earlier this week on Tuesday. We'll talk about the results and Atkinson County and Clinch County from those races. We'll talk about some arrests that went on in Clinch County over the past week that were reported in the Clinch County News, and tell you a little bit behind the scenes on that. Clinch Memorial Hospital in Homerville won a prestigious award. And football season, the regular season, last week is this week. Friday night, they're going to be having their last games of the regular season. We'll talk about the playoff picture, and we'll also talk about basketball season. It's going to be starting up soon for some of our area teams, and we'll talk about that. We appreciate you listening to the Behind the News podcast. We appreciate our sponsor, Lutz Brown, Pegler, Manly Insurance in Homerville. We're going to hear a word from those guys right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown, Pegler, and Manly in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, listeners and peoples of all ages. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, Eccles County Echo, and Lanier County Advocate. I'm joined, as usual, by Blake Pittman, editor of the Axon County Citizen. We're talking about things going on this week in Axon County, Clinch County, Eccles County, and Lanier County, and sort of give you a look behind the headlines from our newspapers in those communities. And one of the things that was significant, not only in the Axon County paper, but really across South Georgia, was a shooting of a man by a police officer in Pearson. And Blake, tell us about that.
Yeah, it happened on Thursday on Halloween night. The gentleman's name was Edward Rowe. He's 56 years of age. Now, he's actually shot by a sheriff's deputy, not a police officer. I know some of them are kind of touchy when you don't refer to them as the right terminology there. But what happens basically every Halloween on Halloween night, they have this, I guess you'd call it like a policy in place that every registered sex offender in the city limits of Pearson or in the county, wherever they're at, they are required to report to the sheriff's department by like 5 o'clock that afternoon, and they have to stay there in the sheriff's department until trick-or-treating hours are over with in the city and the county. That's just, you know, for an accountability issue, I guess. Well, Edward Rowe was on that list. I'm not sure exactly what the charge was for. I knew he was a registered sex offender. And according to the report, about 5:15, there was some sort of an altercation. Rowe entered a restricted area or restricted part of the Atkinson County Sheriff's Department and went into a restricted office and obtained a gun from that office. I'm not sure if the weapon was laying on the desk or wherever it was, but he was in an area he shouldn't have been in. He obtained the gun, he came out with the gun, and he pointed it at deputies, and they, of course, drew their guns and pointed at him. They gave him several commands to drop his weapon, to place it, you know, on the ground, and he would not comply. He fired the weapon. When he fired the weapon, they fired back, and from the report was he was struck 3 times in the chest and died immediately, right soon after. And so the GBI's office is currently investigating that. Of course, WALB was, you know, they rushed over to Pearson and did a little live feed. They really didn't have any information, but this is from the GBI press release, exactly what we put on the front page this week. They both fired at each other, Rowe and the deputy. Rowe was struck. The deputy was uninjured. The GBI is currently investigating, and they're asking anybody with any information to contact the Atkinson County Sheriff's Office or the GBI Regional 4 office in Douglas. They hadn't said exactly what happened to lead to the altercation, or, I mean, they, you know, like I said, they're still investigating, so they're probably not going to release any of that information.
It's a very sad situation there with that.
Yeah, very sad.
Elections went on Tuesday in Atkinson County and Clinch County. In Clinch County, there were 4 contested elections. One of them being the SPLOST, the renewal of the school system SPLOST. That won handily, won 618 yes votes to 131 no votes. That's 82.5% to 17.5%. So that's a continuation for 2 more years of the 1% sales tax that goes to education. In Homerville, there was one city council race. Willie Hardy, the incumbent, longtime and coming on Homerville City Council, will go back in office next year. He defeated challenger Carlos Whitley, 172 to 106. That was 62% of the vote to 62 to 38 on that race. In Argyle, they do it a little bit differently there, where they have 4 city council members, and they all run, and whoever gets the 4 with the most votes win. Well, we had 5 people running. And so the 4 that are coming back, well, actually, we'll just give the numbers. Otis Fleming Sr. is coming back. He's an incumbent, 27 votes for him. Ann Grady, incumbent, she had 29 votes. Lee Lane had 28 votes, and Lois King had 20 votes. Those were the top 4 vote getters, so those will be the people on city council. Lee Rudd, who had been an incumbent, will not be coming back to the Argyle City Council. He had 15 votes. He was 5 shy of being reelected. Now, over in Fargo, votes a little bit different because only people in that district are allowed to vote. In Homerville and in Argyle, everybody's allowed to vote. Well, in that district, which is 4, John Griffiths Jr., who's better known as Bappy, won. He was the mayor and decided to step down as mayor and run for city council. He won 7 votes to Dale Smith's 1 vote. So 8 people voted in the Fargo district right there. Yeah, big turnout. Roy Abbott is now their new mayor. He ran unopposed for that. So he's Fargo's mayor now. And in Argyle, Kay Riley ran unopposed to be reelected as mayor. And in Homerville Post 4, Lynn Robbins, yours truly, landslide victory for him running unopposed. 221 votes out of 223. We had 2 people who cast write-in ballots. Now, listen, I've been the newspaper editor here for 25 years. That is fantastic. I only had 2 people cast write-in votes, I'm very happy with that.
Here's a confession. I might have been one of those people.
You may have been one of them, put Mickey Mouse just to pick Bugs Bunny.
I'm not going to say who I wrote in, but yeah.
Well,
yeah. Hey, I was one of those. So technically, you only had 1 person do a write-in against you.
Well, okay. That's democracy. So, and then we also had some elections in Atkinson County. Tell us about those.
That's right. City of Pearson, we had 1 contested race where they do it. It's strange over there. They do it it's not by post. It's kind of at large. So they had 3 city council seats that were open, and they had 5 people run for those seats. Jason Joyner, Ricky Thomas, and of course Tony Williams were the 3 incumbents, and then Wade Carver and Don Garcia ran for the post as well. Jason Joyner received 115 votes, Ricky Thomas received 89, and Wade Carver received 81 to take those 3 seats. Don Garcia was right behind Wade Carver with 79 votes, and Tony Williams, they counted 71. Now here's the I don't want to say the funny part, but this is where you really need to be careful with things. Tony, he missed qualifying by a couple of hours. He thought that they stayed open until 5 on a Friday and they closed at lunch, and he went like at 2 to qualify, and you know, last day, and they were already closed. So he had to go through the whole rigmarole of being put on the write-in ballot. We had to run a public notice or what have you. Anyways, when he registered or signed up qualified, whatever you call it. He qualified as Antonio Williams, and everybody in town knows him as Tony Williams. So he actually received 96 votes, but due to spelling errors on 25 of them, they only counted 71. Now, that is a policy directly from the Secretary of State's office. It has to be spelled as they register. If he would have registered as Tony Williams, he would have won his seat back. I mean, no question
asked.
Well,
on the signs I saw of his, it said Tony Williams.
Yeah, but when he qualified on the ballot, he qualified as Antonio. When we ran the public notice in the paper, it said Antonio Williams. So you got two of the old guys coming back and a new city council member in Pearson. Now, in the city of Willacoochee, they had two seats that were up for grabs, but George Myers and Kalisha Lott both ran uncontested. The mayor seat was available, and the current mayor, Samuel Newsom, won his seat back. He defeated Dennis Polk, 198 votes to 95. Now, here's the sad thing about it, Lynn, is in Atkinson County, there are 1,639 registered voters, and only 504 voted in the election.
In the city election?
That's altogether in both city elections.
What percentage is that?
30.7.
Actually, it's better in Clinch County. Clinch County for the SPLOS was 19%.
Yeah. So that's.
I have a feeling, though, in 2020, you're going to see a lot more participation.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to have a presidential primary. We'll have all the county offices. We'll have two U.S. Senate races in November.
I know ATCO's got the sheriff races this year. So.
And in Clinch, they'll have a sheriff's race, and I think there's going to be. I understand, some people running against the
city of Pearson will have a special election in the next go round to include Sunday alcohol sales.
Oh.
That'll be on the ballot.
That's going to be a big year. On the Clinch County news this week, we have lots of arrests and police news. And I would first of all like to thank the Homerville Police Department and the Clinch County Sheriff's Office for providing that information. One of them is about a big marijuana and cocaine bust that the Sheriff's Office and the Homerville Police Department jointly did, where they busted a guy with over a pound of marijuana, I believe. Also, the District Attorney's Office sent us a story about Anton Phillips and Cedric Marshall, both 21 and from Clinch County, pleaded guilty to their part in an aggravated assault from 2016. The assault took place in Clinch County Jail, and it was gang-related, according to District Attorney Dick Perryman. Phillips, if you remember, a couple of months ago, went on this crime spree where he hijacked a truck and all kinds of stuff, and so he is going off to prison there. We also had a follow-up on, I think we may have mentioned this last week, about the burglary spree that had gone on here in Clinch County. And there's been a teen that was arrested for that, and then also 18-year-old Tavares Jamal Williams. And the police seem to think that those are the ones responsible for we had a spree of burglaries here about 2-3 weeks ago. And they recovered a lot of those items, including a 70-inch television set. Now, the rule is, and this is the law, and we have to abide by it, that any minors under the age of 17, you are not supposed to put their names in the newspaper. 17, it's odd. 17 is the age you can put their name in the paper for a crime.
And they can be tried as an adult then, too, depending on the severity of the crime.
A lot of other things, you're not considered an adult till you're 18.
Yeah.
But in terms of printing in the newspaper, it's 17. Also, I wanted to clarify one thing, an item that was in our Clinch County scanner that we've had some questions about. And the item was that an officer from the Sheriff's Department was contacted by a Clinch County High School administrator and advised of a possible incident of child pornography. Now, and the case is still under investigation. Now, somehow this ended up where a teacher was accused of child pornography. That's not the case at all, and that's not what it says in the scanner. What they said was an administrator reported something, and what we understand what the situation was there was some naughty pictures in between a minor and
somebody outside the school.
Yeah. Not an administrator, not a teacher. It was a student and somebody outside
not even
the school.
Affiliated with the school.
I don't know about that. I don't know who it was. But I do know that the administrator found out about it, report it to the sheriff, says you're supposed to do, and they're investigating it. So, and I want people to know that whenever, you know, basically our policy is if it's reported to us by law enforcement, we put it in the paper. Now, we try not to put, like, in the Clinch County Scanner or any of our police reports, if there's a victim of a crime or something like that, we're not going to put their name. Or somebody involved. It's not – the only time we'll put a name usually is when there's an arrest made and they're arrested. Now, sometimes people are arrested by the police, like if a guy's running through town going 100 miles an hour, they arrest him right then, right? Mm-hmm. There's other ways, though, that people can be arrested. For instance, sometimes the sheriff's department, instead of arresting the person outright, they don't know if they have enough evidence. They'll take it to a grand jury. The grand jury will then decide whether or not to indict. Then it goes to the district attorney. Now, a lot of times we won't see any information on that until they go to court.
Until it's over with.
So some people will ask me sometimes, I go, what about blah, blah, blah? Why are y'all covering that up? No, the police haven't given us that information.
Exactly.
We won't get that information until maybe after it's already, you know, gone through the court system. So, and usually what we try to do is keep up with the courts and say, hey, because, you know, I know in Clinch County, and I'm sure this way in Axon County and Lanier, they only have court 2-3 times, a year, practically, really.
Grand jury is only, what, twice a year?
Yeah, something like that. So they only have those kind of things every once in a while. A lot of those plead out. Sometimes we get that information, sometimes we don't. We want to put all the information because we believe that you as citizens deserve to know who's being arrested in your community, what crimes are being committed. And the reason why is because then you can protect yourself if there's, if there's, like, for instance, a series of burglaries. I'm very happy that our police department and our sheriff's department reported that. It was in Clinch County.
Quickly.
Because then people could go, I need to lock my doors or whatever. And the police did a good job of warning folks about that.
Yeah.
But there's been times in the past, and you know this in other communities as well, where they haven't told us anything, and then people get robbed because they
get mad at us for not telling them.
Left their car door open, and we don't want that to happen, obviously. So we appreciate the police and sheriff's department for giving us that information, and hope they continue to do that in all of our communities.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, and just to add to that, like, when we put something in the newspaper, when the sheriff's office or the police department gives us information to publish in the paper, the only thing, like you say, we generally take out is, like, names of victims and stuff like that. Anything that's pertinent to the crime, we print it as it has been given to us. Mm-hmm. Like, just yesterday while I was out delivering papers, I had three people come up to me and ask me why I withheld information from the sheriff's story about the guy getting shot. And I had to explain to him, you know, very nicely that I didn't withhold anything. I just reworded and printed the report that was given to me. And if there was anything left out, it was left out before it was given to me. So, you know, we're not out to try to hide stuff and try to make certain people look good and certain people look bad. We just, it's our job to report it as it is and as it's given to us, and that's how we do it.
So. And one thing that I've learned, and I've learned this the hard way, is that sometimes it's better if you're confused about something or don't know what it means or whatever, just leave it out. I mean, I'd rather put in accurate information that I know is solid than sort of, I mean, I never want to put anything where I'm going, I don't really know what that means or whatever. We need to understand it. Sometimes you don't have time to ask that extra question. And if you don't, it's better just to leave it be and not include it. And, cause you want to be accurate. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We're talking about what's going on in Clinch County, Axon County, Eccles County, and Lanier County. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate our sponsors. We're going to hear a word from them right now.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, wonderful podcast people. I'm Lynn Robbins. joined by Blake Pittman. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. One thing that was in the Clinch County News this week I want to mention is that Clinch Memorial Hospital was named the Hospital of the Year by Hometown Health. Hometown Health is a had a big conference in Pine Mountain, and they're a network of Georgia rural hospitals, healthcare providers, and best practice business partners. So that's quite a prestigious honor, especially, you know, Clinch Memorial just a couple of years ago was on the, you know, really struggling financially. And I think they've turned that around, and that's a credit to the leadership there and the employees and all those folks out there. So congratulations to Clinch Memorial Hospital for being named Hospital of the Year. Blake, in Axon County paper this week, they had a story about CCRPI scores, right. And it was really impressive for Axon County schools.
Yeah, Atkinson County pretty well excelled across the board in their CCRPI scores. The CCRPI PRI in the story part of it. It stands for College and Career Readiness Performance Index. Now, the state average this year was 75.9. ATCO scored a 76.8 and had gains, you know, across the board from 2018. So they did a really, really good job. Superintendent Bob Brown was very, very, very proud of the school system's performance as a whole. And, you know, in ATCO, they have two elementary schools, a middle school and a high school. And that's what they base all that off of. We have the chart on the front page. They also had some when you compare them to the rest of the RESA system, they had second highest gain score all over, second highest in elementary school gains, second highest progress gains, second highest readiness gains, so forth, so on. So check out the story, and yeah, congratulations to them for posting such great numbers. That's an achievement to be proud of.
That is. Another thing that is going on this week, tomorrow, we're recording this on Thursday. Tomorrow is the last game of the year for most high school football teams in Georgia. Clinch County is currently ranked second in the state. They're going to be going on to the playoffs. Atkinson County and Lanier County, it doesn't look like they're going to be going to the playoffs. And the way the playoffs are devised is if you win your region, you get one of the top spots based on – and then it's – you're seeded based on your power ratings, which is a computer-generated thing, taking into consideration your record and who you've played and all this other kind of stuff. So the top 24 teams make it. Right now, Atkinson County is 3-6 on the season. Yeah. They're 30th in the power rankings. Now, they play
Wilcox. Rochelle to play Wilcox.
In Rochelle. Yep. Lanier County is ranked 33rd. They're 2-7. Now, Lanier County lost this week in a last-second loss to Telfair. And if they'd won that game, they play tomorrow against at Charlton. I think they're going to win that game.
They should.
They could have made the play. They've had, and they also lost by one to Turner. They beat Atkinson by one.
Yeah.
And I think they had another close game. So, boy, they are just a few plays away from making the playoffs here.
Yep.
And I don't mean to, you know, something crazy could happen where a bunch of teams, you know, lose and Axon could win big. Who knows?
ATCO beating Wilcox.
So, but right now it appears that this will be their last game of the season, but for both Axon County and Lanier. Clinch County, on the other hand, what their situation is, they're 8-1. They play at Telfair tomorrow. If they should win that, they'll be 9-1. They will not win the region because their only loss was to Irwin, who you think they're going to win probably in their last game. They're playing Turner County.
Yeah,
They will be probably the number one seed. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make a projection on this. It appears to me that Irwin will be the number one seed.
Yeah.
That Pelham, if they should win out to Mitchell, and I think they will, they'll be the number two seed. That Marion County will probably win their region. They'll be the number three seed, which will make Clinch County the fourth seed. That means that Clinch County will get the week off. Mm-hmm. They will play a team at home the following week. I think that's the 15th.
Yep.
The next week, which will be the 22nd, they'll play a tough team in the second round at home if they should win.
Yeah.
And then they would play at Irwin County, probably, in the semifinals for a trip to the state championship. But it would be different in that they would not be playing in the state championship. They'd be playing at Irwin.
They've started referring to the Class A state championship now as the Clinch Irwin Invitational.
But that could change depending on if some freaky stuff happened. For instance, if Johnson County were to beat Savannah Country Day tomorrow night, they'd win that region. That'd move Clinch to fifth, meaning Clinch could possibly play Irwin in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Or if Brookstone wins and Marion loses, Marion plays Macon County, then Brookstone, I think, anyway, that would mean there, and then also Johnson County. Anyway, there's some things there's where some either Clinch can move into third, or they can move all the way to sixth. Yeah. But odds are they're probably going to be four or five.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking.
So. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at in terms of that. Now, let's move on to basketball. And Clinch County basketball doesn't start until way later in December. Yeah. But there's some other area teams that start this week. Lanier County has their first game on Saturday against Worth County. And I believe that's at home. So, people in Lanier County, they had a little scrimmage the other day with a sort of intramural scrimmage between the middle school and high schoolers. But they're going to be playing for real, the Bulldogs and Lady Dogs, on Saturday against Worth County. Now, Atkinson starts the following week, the next Friday, the 15th, also against Worth County. And then Eccles is starting a couple days before that on the 12th. At Berrien. So we'll try to keep you all up to date in our newspapers about basketball season. In fact, we'll probably try to get a preview
the next week.
Next week. I know I'll talk to Keith Newbern, our sports guy in Lakeland. Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that.
I'll run Coach Wesley down and see what I can get out of him.
Yeah. All right. And then what else do we have?
Oh, before we go, Lynn, while we're still on sports, front page this week, Atkinson County boys and girls cross-country teams competed at the state level this past weekend. And boys placed fifth, the girls placed sixth. And that was out of 15 teams for the girls, 16 teams for the boys. They had several finish, you know, in the top 15 to 20. But, you know, I mean, even if it's, you know, it's not a state championship, you know, that's still a big accomplishment for them. So congratulations goes out to, you know, the Atkinson County Boys and Girls Cross Country Team.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for mentioning that. Now, tell us about Ben and Blake's Excellent Venture podcast. What's going on with that?
This past week, we decided to stay in the realm of podcasts and break down our top five podcasts. I told Ben I felt like I was cheating on myself by naming other podcasts besides our own to listen to. But we talked about other stuff such as, you know, Disney's got some – their streaming services is getting ready to launch. They got some really cool stuff coming out. Apple is about to launch their own Apple TV Plus. And we discuss Netflix comings and goings and all kind of other entertainment related stuff. So check that out. It's up and available to listen to now. This next week, we're going to be discussing our top five sleeper movies. You know, the movies that you like that nobody else would know that you like. That if you told them you watched, they just kind of look at you kind of weird. That's what we're going to discuss this week. So check it out. I'm pretty sure you'll like it. Lynn, before we get out of here, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column's about this week?
It's about the odds of dying, what you will die from, and what are the odds of that. And I think, you know, in today's society where we have these, you have all this information at your fingertips all the time, we seem to think that, like, there's more shark attacks than there used to be, or that you're going to die from that or whatever. And this tells you what the actual odds are. For instance, dying from a shark attack, it's 1 in 300 million. Those are the odds. 1 in 300 million to die from a shark attack. But dying from falling down, just falling down, is 1 in 246. You're much more likely to die from falling down
than you are from a shark.
Now, what are the odds? What do you think the odds are of getting away with murder? Of all the murders, how many do you think are solved? I guess that would be how you determine that, right?
I don't know. Maybe 30, 40%.
One in two.
Really? So
you got to have 50-50 shot, man. We don't need to really. I probably shouldn't have put that in my story.
You probably shouldn't.
You know, dying from getting hit by a bus or a train is one in 160,000. Huh. Dying from a terrorist attack from an immigrant, which seems to be everybody's fear, is one in 138 million.
Yeah.
But dying from heart disease, one in every third person.
You're right about that.
So, yeah. I mean, it sort of tells you what you're more likely to die from. You won't die from reading that newspaper column.
That's exactly right.
Very slim odds. We'd like to thank y'all for listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley Insurance here in Homerville. Go see Eric Lutz for all your insurance needs. He's our insurance guy. Can't speak any more highly of him and his crew over there. Tune in next week. We'll go over what's going on in Axon County, Clinch County, Eccles County, and Lanier County, give you all the lowdown and the scoop and the behind-the-scenes stuff, and tell you what's what. So we appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week on the Behind the News podcast.